welcome to another episode of the Neon Movie Bunker. I'm John Robinson.
And I'm Ella Ray Stanek.
And we're here to talk about movies.
And Steven Spielberg.
Yes, Mr. Spielberg has some things to say about Netflix.
Specifically anti-Netflix, if I'm not mistaken.
They are not particularly pro-Netflix.
Okay, what's his beef?
Basically, his thought is that any movie made for Netflix is actually just television.
I recommend he see a doctor about cranial fecal compaction. Rectal cranial compaction, perhaps?
Impaction.
Impaction in that case, yeah.
I don't know. I don't necessarily agree with his point, but I certainly see his point.
I don't see his point at all. It's based on a myth. It's total bullshit. Here's the myth. The myth is that every movie that's made to be shown in theaters goes to theaters. And that every movie that's made specifically for television only goes to television. That's not the case. That's not how it works. Every director makes their movie in order for it to get shown. Some really, really, really prefer to be in theaters. Some are okay with the ad money that, you know, comes from doing television. Most just want it to get seen, right? The films that you find in the dollar bin at the local
gas station,
at the local gas station, at the Cube Mart, whatever store you go to, the ones with the stars that you recognize but the titles you don't, those played theatrically in other nations. Movies that debuted theatrically here debuted on television there. It's a complete and total arbitrary piece of BS. If he wants to say that movies made for CBS films are television, it's the same sort of accusation. Yes, CBS Films is associated with a television arm. So is Disney. So is DreamWorks. So is all of them. And the idea that there is that firm, fast, 100% disconnect between something made to be shown on the small screen and something to be made on shown on the big screen is no longer true, if it ever was.
Moving on.
It just sort of saw a little bit of your soul fall as I was ranting there a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, why is that?
Not worth going into.
Okay. Moving on.
We had other stuff.
We did, like Warner Brothers looking to go into a animated series with Gremlins.
Yes.
That'll be fun.
Yes. Hopefully Joe Dante is involved.
He better be, because otherwise it's not going to be Gremlins.
Yeah. In other 80s throwback news, Finn Wolfhard and Carrie Coon have been, well, depending on who you talk to, have been cast or are going to be cast or are circling the cast for Jason Reitman's Ghostbusters picture.
Huh. Interesting.
Yes.
Man, young Wolfhard's getting quite the resume going.
Mm-hmm. So I guess, from what I've read, Coon's part is actually probably the lead role.
Okay.
But that's about all we know.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
All will be revealed next year.
Yep. Just feels so weird. Just feels weird to think that there's actually a Ghostbusters 3 coming out next year. It just... My mind hasn't completely grasped onto that as reality yet. But there are so many things my mind hasn't completely grasped onto as reality yet. And most people have been like, yeah, okay, whatever. For years now, so. Maybe I'm not the...
I started doing that in 1991.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what I'm here for. But wait, there's more.
Is there?
There's the Sci-Fi Spectacular.
That's right. The Sci-Fi Spectacular is coming up, and man, do they have some interesting films to show. For this year, I believe they have Phantom of the Paradise.
Phantom of the Paradise, 45th anniversary, star Garrett Graham in person.
Nice.
The Running Man.
Oh.
Critters.
Awesome.
Omega Man.
Wow.
Village of the Damned.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure which one, but...
Either way, you're doing pretty well.
And a personal favorite of both of us, Mars Attacks.
Oh, wow. That sounds like a great time. And, of course, they're going to have all sorts of locally produced independent short films to show as well, along with trailers. There will be vendors there, all at the... It's not at the patio this year. It's at the Davis Theater, which is a nice venue for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, definitely go and check that out. Well worth your time. I believe that the tickets are available online at Eventbrite, and you can also find them on Facebook at facebook.com/sci-fi-spectacular.
Tickets are actually through Brown Paper Events.
There
Brown
you go.
Paper tickets.
Brown Paper tickets.
Yeah. Stuff. Things.
Yay. So, John?
Yes.
Speaking of stuff and things.
Yes.
We have an email address.
We do. Ooh, one other thing that they're showing at the mm-hmm. Sci-Fi Spectacular?
Mm-hmm.
Edison's Frankenstein. With live organ accompaniment.
Oh my god, that's awesome. Oh.
March 23rd and 24th.
I know. That's awesome. Very cool.
Yes, so we recommend the event.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We have an email address.
That we do.
You're correct. Mail@neonmoviebunker.com.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Facebook page of our own. Facebook.com/neonmoviebunker.
That's right.
We have Twitter.com/neonmoviebunker or @neonmoviebunker or @JohnNMB.
Or @LRANeonMB.
And,
then of course you can subscribe.
Please do. Apple Podcasts or Google Play or Stitcher or Spotify.
Mm-hmm. And you can also find us
www.neonmoviebunker.com.
All right. For all of your Neon Movie Bunker needs.
Yes.
For there and there. So, John.
Yes.
What did you see this week? What are you talking about?
I saw a movie.
Okay, cool. What movie?
I saw a long movie.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. Tell me more.
I saw Never Look Away.
Oh. Interesting.
Written and directed by Florian Henkel von Donnersmarck.
Mm-hmm.
Stars Tom Schilling, Sebastian Koch, Paula Beer, Saskia Rosendahl, Oliver Masucci, and others.
Okay.
It's the story of Kurt Barnert, who, well, we follow him from age about 6 to age 32, give or take.
Mm-hmm.
At 6, he's living with his family outside of Dresden in 1937.
Okay.
His aunt, Auntie Elizabeth, has just taken him to a exhibition of decadent art.
Ooh.
Art declared decadent by the ruling National Socialist Party.
Yeah.
Kurt is already exhibiting some talent as an artist.
Okay.
Himself. The tour guide at the exhibition makes fun of things like the Kandinsky that the government paid to the old government paid 2,000 marks for.
Mm-hmm.
And said, you can probably do something better. And then Auntie Elizabeth, then the group walks on and Aunt Elizabeth leans over and says, I don't know. I think I kind of like it. Aunt Elizabeth, well, I'm skipping ahead a little bit. Aunt Elizabeth demonstrates that she's perhaps not completely compos mentis.
Okay.
Which is a very bad thing to be in 1937 in Germany.
Yeah.
And is committed and forcibly sterilized,
mm-hmm.
sent away this is a couple of years later, sent away to a facility where she does not come out.
Gotcha.
For her unfortunate end, she her examination is done by Hair Professor Zeebond, head of the gynecology department.
Okay.
Who also sits on the SS Sterilization and Euthanasia Board.
Mm.
Yeah. The war happens. Kurt's father, who had been a school teacher, school principal, is reduced to work as a janitor because he, under pressure from his wife, joined the Nazi party and is now persona non grata. As a result, he can't get a job doing what he used to do. But Kurt has taken on some work as a sign painter and is still doing his own artwork and gets into the Academy of Art, meets Ellie there, a fashion student. They are taken with each other.
Okay.
This is in Russian-controlled East Germany.
All right.
They fall in love. Then we meet Ellie's parents, who has a connection to what's gone on before, which is not, it's not played for a surprise.
Right. But why?
If you're going to see this, I'm not going to go too much further. Eventually, they escape to the West, and Kurt, they escape to the West just before the wall goes up. And Kurt moves to Dusseldorf. Kurt and Ellie move to Dusseldorf, where he gets into the Art Academy there, which is where all the avant-garde at the time is happening. And he tries to develop something to say, and eventually he does. I have really condensed this. This movie runs 3 hours, 9 minutes.
I was going to say, this sounds like a definite Reader's Digest version.
Yeah. There's a lot going on.
Okay.
Yeah. It runs 309 and it feels 209.
Really?
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. I could have watched for another hour and a half.
Okay. Tell me more.
Long, long, long time listeners of the show.
Mm. Back before the show was the show.
Right. Back when the show was the other show.
Uh-huh.
May remember the name Florian Henkel von Donnersmarck for having made 2006's The Lives of Others.
Yeah. Great movie.
Which I named my best movie of the last decade during our movie of the decade show.
Yeah.
In late 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Has so much to say about art and guilt, and particularly German guilt after the war.
Mm-hmm.
And just what's the artist's role in society, the importance of truth. It's deeply profound. Tom Schilling, yes, Tom Schilling, as Kurt, is cast really well. He looks the part. He's giving a good performance. Sebastian Koch as Professor Zeebond is a wonderfully complicated character.
Hmm.
For the most part.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he, unlike Kurt's father, who joined because he was pressured, Professor Zeebond is a true believer.
Oh, right.
Yeah, there's a lot of eugenics,
of course,
going on. He retains that even after the war. He does something not heroic but decent.
Okay.
Which secures his safety.
Okay.
But that, even that is temporary. I just can't recommend this movie enough.
It sounds like an impressive piece.
Yeah, yeah. And it was nominated for 2 Oscars. It was nominated for Best Foreign Language Film, Losing to Roma.
Mm-hmm.
It was also nominated for Best Cinematography, also Losing to Roma, as it turns out. Caleb Deschanel shot it, and it looks fantastic. It looks very good without calling attention to the fact that it looks very good, which is...
an art in and of itself.
Yeah. If you're not in the mood to read subtitles for 3 hours and 9 minutes, give it a pass, certainly. But it's another, you know, we're going to throw out the tourist because he walked off halfway through and had to be convinced to come back. But Henkel von Donnersmarck has done it again.
Well, let's see here. There was The Lives of Others.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, sort of worked on The Tourist.
Yeah. And then this.
Really?
Yeah.
Isn't there something else he did? No, he didn't do Tinker Tailor.
No.
Soldier Spy. That was...
somebody else.
Yeah.
It's really just a great piece of work. And when it comes to home video...
And it's going to be something to...
To seek out. It's in a few theaters now. I was scrolling Fandango yesterday.
Okay.
And... Because I was planning to see Greta this week.
Right. I kind of figured you were going to.
Scrolling Fandango, and I saw, oh, it's playing there?
Well, then let's do that.
Yes. Yeah, and I was not disappointed at all.
Excellent.
Let's put it this way.
Mm-hmm.
This movie was worth the parking ticket I got for my meter expiring while I was watching it.
That's high praise.
Yeah.
That's very high praise.
So Never Look Away in theaters now. Definitely see it.
On home video this week for the first time is The House, or Huset, as it is in its original language. Set during the tail end of World War II, two German soldiers are escorting a prisoner of war through Norway, and they get separated from the main battalion. They are reasonable people. They are lost. They are on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And so they hike through the snow and find this house, a place where they can recuperate, maybe get their radio fixed a bit, find out a better, get more information on their location, treat their POW's gangrene a little bit, and maybe get a little shut up.
Okay.
The three of them enter the house, and things start happening. They start noticing. At first, when they come in, it seems like the family that was there just left. Like, saw them coming and ran. Because there's hot food on the stove, there's this, the radio's on, you know, all of these things, certain gas lamps are on, things that you wouldn't just, you know, leave behind. Unless, say, a couple of Nazi officers were strolling up your door.
Yeah, that's good reason.
But then things start shifting slowly on them. Initially, it's just a cross being someplace where they didn't see it before. Then it's multiple crosses. Then it's runes marked upon a closet door. Then it gets weird.
Okay.
The timeline of this story is sort of like a couple of Mobius strips tied together. It all does eventually come together and make sense. It's just you have to kind of follow a few different threads throughout the runtime of the film in order to have it all click and see where they're going with it. Visually, from what I was able to tell, and we'll get to that more on that in just a moment, this is a really classically creepy movie. You know, primarily lit with candlelight and gaslight, or sunlight. The film puts you in this place that is familiar yet foreboding with these characters who are not at all likable. And yet you start feeling a certain amount of sympathy for them, for what they're about to go through and what they are going through. As I said, from what I could see.
I'm sensing a but.
There is. This DVD does not look terribly good. There's a lot of really nasty compression going on here. You can see the compression artifacts in any dark sequence. The transition from one shade to another becomes blocky. Which is a shame, because story-wise and performance-wise, execution-wise, this is a good movie. The performances are really, really fabulous in it. Subdued, but fabulous. You know, it's not like anybody's... It's not like they're in a dark castle haunted house movie.
Okay.
You know, this is a movie where the characters don't realize that they're in a haunted house.
Mm.
Okay, it's presented... You know it, walking in, basically, because I'm the one telling you it. But if you were to just sit down and watch this film, you might not necessarily jump to that conclusion. You could think, okay, maybe there's some other explanation here. But this film, even though it is so well put together, that bad presentation really took me out of it. It was bad enough to take me out of the film and make it a less than stellar experience. For bonus features, it's got some fun stuff on it. A collection of trailers for this film and other films available from Artsploitation. It has a full-length commentary track with the director, Reinhard Kill, an interview with the director as well. Also has one of the director's shorts films on it. The movie is definitely worth seeing, and looking at the cover art, and you can take a look at that there too, John.
I see that.
It looks like it would be kind of a cheesy thing.
Yeah.
Right? It isn't. It is not cheesy. It's actually a very artfully done, well-rendered story. If only the disc matched, this would be something I could recommend. No
problem.
Unreservedly, this would be a recommendation. As it stands, if you're watching it on a smaller screen, you know, something like 42 and under, you'll be okay. It won't look great, but you'll be okay. Anything bigger than that, you're going to be
disappointed
with it, yeah.
So, listeners, did you see Never Look Away, or did you see The House? Please let us know what you thought. mail@neonmoviebunker.com.
That's right. In the meantime,
DVDs and Blu-rays.
And coming out this week on DVD and Blu-ray is the first season of Krypton. A new look, a different look. I don't know if it's new. It's a different look at the story of Superman, and it goes back a couple generations prior to
Kal-El.
It's his grandfather, who's basically has to decide, all right, do I let future history take its course and let my planet die, but my grandson becomes Superman? Or do I save my planet and my grandson doesn't become Superman and this other planet doesn't benefit from that? It's an interesting one thing Warner Brothers and DC have done really well with their superhero properties is allowing television to interpret them in different ways. You know, the kind of the whole Elseworlds idea. They've really kind of hit that ball out of the park.
All right. Also coming to DVD and Blu-ray this week is Vox Lux.
Yeah.
One of my top 10 for last year. When people have been asking me about it, the quick log line I've been giving is it's like A Star Is Born, but better.
Okay. All right.
Which is reductive and unfair, but also accurate. True. Yeah. Natalie Portman plays pop star who underwent some trauma mm-hmm. as a teenager, and we see her then and now, and it's really just Portman's terrific, Jude Law is fun, Rafe Cassidy as the younger version of the character. It's really, if you missed it in theaters, give it a shot.
If you're going through Redbox or your local video store and you're coming across something called 100 Yards by featuring Sean Patrick Flannery,
mm-hmm.
you can count on it being clean, family-friendly entertainment, if by entertainment you mean something to induce a nap.
Which I sometimes do.
Well, then this would do the trick. Otherwise, I'd say give it a skip. It's standard Hallmark Channel. I mean, it's not from the Hallmark Channel. Might as well be, though. By the numbers sort of storytelling. Somebody had it all.
Quote, inspirational?
Yeah, somebody had it all, realized, oh, wait, I don't have it all, and then found a way to have it all. Yay.
Hey, Lorraine.
Hey, John.
Let's go to the movies.
Okie dokie. What are we going to go see?
First and most of the things to see right now is Never Look Away.
All
right. A movie I wish I had seen before the beginning of the year. Before the end of last year, I should say.
Kind of have me feeling the same way on that.
Next on my list of things to see right now, let's go with the Lego Movie 2, the second part. Because it's a hoot.
Mm-hmm.
And last on my list of things to see right now, you can do worse than How to Train Your Dragon Hidden World.
Okay. If you're going to stay home and pop something into your home video player of choice this week, be it DVD, Blu-ray, or streaming, available on the streaming side is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Yes, it is.
The Academy Award-winning Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse,
mm-hmm.
for that matter. Let's see here. Follow that up with The Standoff at Sparrow Creek. A bit of tense gunplay, actually tense lead-up to gunplay to, you know, set your nerves at ease. Ralph Wrecks the Internet.
Yes.
I think is the next best option for you out there right now. It was a good year for animation last year.
Yeah.
It's looking to be similar this year.
Mm-hmm. Want to take the opportunity to mention our email address one more time, mail@neonmoviebunker.com. We are on Facebook, facebook.com/neonmoviebunker. We are on Twitter, @NeonMovieBunker. I'm @JohnNMB.
I am @LRANeonMB.
And we are available through Apple Podcasts and Google Play and Stitcher and Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, subscribe, maybe leave us a rating.
We'd appreciate it.
And, of course, always available at our website, www.NeonMovieBunker.com. We're going to have trailers and stuff up there soon.
Very soon.
And so we come to the end of another episode of Neon Movie Bunker. This week's episode is produced by LRA Stanek. The executive producer is Kate Walpole. The junior executive producer is Maggie Stanek. The theme song is by
Dr. Awkward and the Monkey Man Trio.
So until next time, I'm John Robinson.
And I'm LRA Stanek.
And we'll probably see you at the movies.